Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
Happening right now, the gates are opening up at the North Carolina State Fair, and we are live at the fairgrounds with what is on tap today.
And now is a great time to be there. As we prepare for our day today, it may end up being the warmest day of the entire fair. I'll show you how close we'll get to a record high and when things start to change.
And we are just hours away from an update on a deadly shooting involving local deputies and the attack that led up to it.
Former President Bill Clinton is in the hospital with a serious infection this morning. An update on how he's doing and when he could be released. We're at 8 o'clock right now on a Friday morning, and fair gates are open. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Lots of sunshine out there, as you can see from this live look at the Bull City. And then over in Raleigh on the state fairgrounds, a halo of sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's going to be beautiful. Lots of sunshine out there. Now is a great time to be there. I don't think the rides open until 10, but between now and lunchtime, it's going to be awfully nice. A little bit on the warm side later on this afternoon as we see temperatures approaching a record high today. Take a look at temperatures right now, though. Feeling good. 55 just updated there in Roxboro, 59 in Rocky Mount, 58 in Goldsboro and in Southern Pines, and at 61 in Fayetteville and Clinton. Your hour-by-hour forecast at the State Fair. The rides start at 10. It'll be 72 degrees. Really feeling good. At lunchtime, 80. And then we climb to 87 late in the afternoon. But if you're headed out to the fair this evening, it's going to feel good. A lot of people will be after work. Temperatures will drop back down into the 70s and it does stay dry. Now, tomorrow, we'll be dodging some rain, but I'll show you what window we're likely to see it in coming up. Zach?
Currently 801. We're taking a live look at I-40 at Lake Wheeler. Traffic moving along just fine. Had a little bit of a backup there within the last 15 minutes, but things moving along just fine in the southern half of the Beltline. We did have a crash reported near the Lake Wheeler exit. Now not seeing that in 3D True View traffic. One of the crash currently to the east near Wilmington Street, most likely in the cleaning up stages, as that icon has been there for at least the last hour or so. Few additional crashes off towards the northwest of the airport near 540. Currently not on 540. One of those on Briar Creek Park. Way most likely also in the cleaning up stages. So not seeing too many impactful crashes this morning. There's a number of icons currently on your screen, but a lot of those on secondary roads not causing any major delays. 3D True View traffic over to the northwest, seeing lots of green in Chapel Hill and also Durham. If you're driving around the area this morning and coming in from the Clay and Bypass area, it'll take you about 11 minutes to get from NC42 to I-440 using westbound I-40. Still on westbound I-40 from the Beltline through Wade Avenue, about 13 minutes or so. Again, a little bit of the backup near Lake Wheeler, and then Wade Avenue to 540, only 6 minutes. So far, lots of green this morning.
Zach, thanks. Today, we'll get more answers about a stabbing and a deadly shooting involving a local deputy. It happened along McNair Road in Edgecombe County, as you can see here on this map. WRAL's Nia Hardin is live at SBI headquarters in Raleigh, and Nia, Edgecombe County Sheriff is planning to speak about this case.
SBI investigators are also here working on this case. This is standard when it comes to a shooting involving law enforcement. Investigators say this all started around 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon when deputies responded to a home on McNair Road where a woman said a relative armed with a knife was chasing her. When deputies arrived, they say the man charged at them, stabbing one of them in the back. Another deputy fired shots, killing the man. The injured deputy was released from the hospital last night. Now, today we could learn the names of those involved. The sheriff is going to be speaking at 11 o'clock this morning. WRAL is going to be there and we'll have updates for you in our later newscast. Nia Hardin, WRAL News, Raleigh.
A developing story we are following this morning. We're learning former President Bill Clinton had an infection that developed into sepsis. He's still in a California hospital. Doctors say Clinton could be released this morning. The 75-year-old former president is in the ICU for privacy and safety reasons, not because he needs intensive care. He's been talking with family and he's up and walking as well. If you got the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine, it could be just a matter of hours before a key decision is made on a booster shot. An FDA advisory panel is meeting again at 8:30 this morning, and they'll discuss whether to approve an extra dose. This week, federal data raised questions about whether an extra dose is needed or whether vaccine recipients should be mixing and matching different varieties instead. A new study showed those who got the J&J shot may be better protected with a Moderna or Pfizer booster shot. That same FDA panel decided in just the past day to recommend booster shots of the Moderna vaccine. They want to offer the shot to people over the age of 65, those who are at high risk of serious illness from COVID, and frontline workers. Here's what happens next for that booster shot. The full FDA will make a decision on the recommendation in the coming days. Then a CDC committee will meet next Wednesday to discuss the boosters. And then it's up to the CDC director to make a final decision.
The first full day of the North Carolina State Fair starts right now. WRL's Laura Levine is live at the State Fairgrounds. And Laura, the gates just opened at 8 a.m. A lot of fun and excitement for people today.
Definitely. Good morning, Ray. We're already seeing people trickle in here at the Apex Lion Club. Now, they've had a booth here for over 60 years. You can imagine their excitement to finally be back. We've been talking about all of the different vendors. Take a look here to my left. You can see they are setting up and getting ready to welcome in people once again. Now, I'll take you to some video from opening day where you can see how many people were just thrilled to be back on the fairgrounds this morning. Agriculture Commissioner Steve Troxler will officially kick off the fair with a ceremonial ribbon cutting. He'll likely address how much this means to the vendors, farmers, and other fair participants to be back. And for many families, this fair is a tradition, one they're looking forward to taking in again after missing out last year. And back out here at Apex Lions Club, I spoke with one of the board members, and he's said that this is their first in-person event since the pandemic for their club. So again, just very thrilled to be back. We have details on parking, tickets, and everything you need to know on WRL.com and the WRL News app. Laura Levine, WRL News, live in Raleigh.
Tonight marks the start of basketball season for both Tar Heels and Blue Devils. Not games, but at UNC, it'll be the first late-night celebration without Roy Williams. Now that Hubert Davis has taken over the program, it'll be a mix of new and old traditions as the men's and women's basketball teams take the court. Masks are required per UNC's latest COVID-19 protocols. The event starts 7:30. Special start to the season tonight at Duke as well, where the Blue Devils will celebrate one final start to the season with Coach Mike Krzyzewski. Countdown to craziness kicks off this afternoon. Fans will gather in Krzyzewskiville at 4, and then celebrations move into Cameron Indoor Stadium. This is the first basketball event with fans at Cameron since March of 2020. Everyone will have to wear a mask and show proof of vaccination or a negative COVID-19 test. Duke is anticipating a big crowd, so they're saying you should arrive early.
New this morning, President Biden is expected to announce a six-part plan to address the financial ramifications of climate change today. That includes protecting your retirement money, updating flood insurance programs, and helping communities evaluate flood risks. He's expected to make that announcement today in Connecticut. The trip comes hours after he signed a bill raising the national debt limit. That increase only prevents the U.S. from default until December. Republicans say they'll refuse another increase, but say Democrats could pass it along with the safety net bill. That would require the approval of every Democrat, which seems unlikely right now.
The most restrictive abortion law in the U.S. will stay in place, at least as the legal battle against it moves forward. A federal appeals court ruled before 10 p.m. that the ban in Texas can be enforced despite efforts from the Justice Department. That law stops abortions as early as 6 weeks when most women don't even know they're pregnant yet. This is the second time the court has kept the law in place. The Justice Department is expected to appeal the U.S. Supreme Court. Deputies in Harnett County are trying to figure out if a teenager's family will be held financially liable for a threat called into a local school. We told you yesterday morning about the bomb threat that prompted evacuations at Coates Irwin Middle School. Sheriff Wayne Coates tells WRL the call was traced to Tennessee, where a teen came up with the idea while talking with another teen from Georgia over Xbox. As of this morning, no charges have been filed, but the investigation continues.
This morning, you're invited to help improve the city of Durham's handling of crisis situations. Leaders are hosting a public town hall called Crisis Response in the Bull City. They're asking anyone to share their own moments of reaching out in an emergency situation and what could have been done better. Input will go toward crafting recommendations for local officials. The virtual town hall starts at 9 this morning and tomorrow at the same time. A link is on the city's website.
8:09 right now, an evolving investigation into a prominent South Carolina attorney accused in a suicide for hire plot is taking another turn today. Next on Fox 50, the new charges against Alex Murdaugh.
And parents, check your bank accounts this morning. How much you could receive today from an ongoing federal assistance program.
And our 7-day forecast looking very warm for today at 87 degrees. That puts us close to a record. But the big weather day will be tomorrow. It's not going to be an all-day rain by any means. You can plan outdoor events around it. But I'll show you what our window for rain is tomorrow. Coming up.
A12 is the time right now, and that is just a gorgeous look downtown Raleigh from our Dix Park WRAL live cam network right there. Sunshine all over. Elizabeth Gardner's just a couple steps away from me, and right around the corner from this shot, the other side of Raleigh there, where you're looking at the fair.
That's right. It looks beautiful out there, too. We're seeing sunshine all across the viewing area, and it's going to be a warm afternoon. Yesterday, we hit mid-80s. We could creep into the upper 80s in a few spots today, but this is likely to be the warmest day that we're going to see for a while. It cools off a little tomorrow and then dramatically on Sunday. But if you're headed to the fair, rides start at 10, and temperatures will be in the mid-70s. Should feel nice by that point. At 1 o'clock, 84, and at 6 o'clock, 85, but our temperature could climb up to around 87 just briefly mid-afternoon. Stays nice and dry. It's going to be a nice time, a nice day at the fair. I know a lot of folks like to go on Friday after work and after school, and it's going to be shorts and t-shirts weather for sure. Goldsboro, Durham, Chapel Hill, Apex, all showing some sunshine and pleasant temperatures right now. Following our cold front, it is still steadily making its way across the country and arrives here tomorrow fairly late in the day and without too much fanfare. What we'll really notice is just how warm it's going to feel as we get, or excuse me, how much colder it's going to feel as we get up on Sunday morning and into Sunday afternoon. You can see the color contours, lots of blues here in the west and lots of yellows and oranges in the east. That cold front's going to push all that warm air out. Watch how that happens across our viewing area. We'll kick things off at around lunchtime tomorrow with temperatures close to 80. We climb into the low 80s just as the front starts to move through, but at that point, we'll see some clouds keeping our temperatures cooler than what we'll see today. We'll see cooling temperatures slowly during the evening, and we continue to see that drop rapidly into the morning hours, so mid-40s in the north, low 50s down south, about 10 degrees cooler than this morning. And then you'll really notice it in the afternoon. So instead of upper 80s, we're looking at upper 60s for highs on Sunday. Of course, today's 87 is close to a record. 88 was the record set back in 1985 for this date. So we're going to be close to it. Tomorrow, though, not so close. 82 versus 86 that was set back in 1925. 74 is our normal high, just for reference. So this is way above normal. 82 Saturday, 67 on Sunday, and then back into some more normal temperatures for Monday and Tuesday. Should be pretty pleasant for Football Friday. Our temperatures will be close to 80 degrees at kickoff time and then dropping pleasantly through the 70s as we get through the evening. Once we get past our cold front on Saturday, we're going to see much cooler temperatures, real chilly really for Monday and Tuesday morning with temperatures in the 40s. Of course, the rain on Saturday afternoon could cause some issues for your outdoor plans. I'll show you when to expect it coming up. Zach?
8:15, the current time will take you out to I-40 at Harrison Avenue, where traffic is moving along just fine. No major complaints so far this morning on our major roads. I-40 west and eastbound has been moving along just fine all morning long, not only near the Clayton area, but also north and south around the Durham area. We are seeing multiple crashes popping up. These are all on secondary streets, a lot of them in the cleanup stages as well. The one on Wilmington Street, just towards the south of downtown Raleigh, most likely pushed off to this side, not causing any traffic delays. Few others near 540 near the airport. I saw that camera sensor about a half an hour ago. No major complaints there either. Just some of those crashes most likely all cleaned up by now and didn't cause too many delays. Lots of green from Durham to Chapel Hill. If you're going to be driving around the triangle, notice that from Wade Avenue to 540 on westbound 40, we'll be seeing that about 5 minute commute or so. Eastbound 40 from 15501 near Chapel Hill to at least the Durham freeway, about 8 minutes or so. And from downtown Durham to I-40 using the Durham freeway, about 7 minutes. So far, lots of green again on all of our major roads.
Another twist in the case of South Carolina attorney Alex Murdaugh. Today, he's expected to appear at an extradition hearing after being arrested at a drug rehab facility in Florida. The charges stem from an investigation into millions of dollars missing a settlement involving the death of his longtime housekeeper. At the time, Murdaugh said Gloria Satterfield died after tripping over a dog at his home. Her family says they've not received any of the more than $2 million in life insurance proceeds they were entitled to. Murdaugh is already facing charges for conspiracy to commit insurance fraud. He was free on bond charges before being arrested yesterday. New this morning, a former pilot is facing federal charges for his role in two deadly crashes involving the 737 MAX jet. A grand jury indicted Mark Faulkner, accusing him of lying to safety regulators.
Yeah, and the regulators, about that automated flight control system that played a role in both crashes where 346 people died. The 737 MAX was grounded worldwide as a result. Faulkner worked on the MAX program, and prosecutors say he downplayed aspects of that system to avoid safety rules. After a four-month pause, planes are landing once again at Pope Airfield at Fort Bragg. The facility was closed down for repairs earlier this year, but this is video of the very first plane to land since the airfield's reopening. Fort Bragg says the runway needed a complete overhaul. While the work was underway, planes had to travel through Charleston. The project was done early and under budget. A new update this morning as officers are investigating the death of a man on the Blue Ridge Parkway as a murder right now. Now, as you take a look at earlier this week, what we were telling you about here, WREL man found dead below the Yadkin Valley Overlook near Boone, and now the National Park Service is identifying that man as Josue Calderon of Rhode Island. They did not reveal how he died. Several agencies, including the FBI, are contributing to this investigation. Today, we could find out if students at UNC Chapel Hill will have to pay more for tuition. University's Tuition and Fee Advisory Task Force is holding an emergency meeting to talk about recommendations for the 2022 and 23 school year. That meeting begins at 3 p.m. Los Angeles Dodgers are headed to the National League Championship Series. This game was decided by one run late in the game after midnight. It's an outcome San Francisco Giants fans won't soon forget.
Teams 109 wins. One is going home. No balls, two strikes. And Flores, did he go?
He did! And the game ends!
That's how it is. You hardly ever see that. A called third strike on a check swing, bottom of the ninth inning. The Giants had the tying run on base as well. Dodgers go on to play the Atlanta Braves in the NLCS starting tomorrow night. Just another page added to one of the most storied rivalries in Major League Baseball. The return of the North Carolina State Fair. It's good news for local vendors and church groups that depend on revenue during the event. Westover United Methodist Church uses the money earned from their food stand at the fair to help pay for mission trips. They say without that extra cash from last year, times were tough.
We didn't like that. We missed it a whole lot.
Why?
Because this is our outreach to the community.
And members say they are hopeful this year will look much different for them. North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences is offering a unique display to check out this weekend. The new Exquisite Creatures exhibit opens this week. Features a blend of science and art. The exhibit opens tomorrow and will stick around until March.
Today, two local cyclists will begin a journey across the state to raise money for refugees in need of housing. The cyclists will ride about 160 miles over 3 days from Zebulon all the way to the coast. They're part of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship of North Carolina, which helps house people in need, including Afghan refugees. Last year's ride raised $20,000. People living in Vance County can get their COVID booster shot today. Granville Vance Public Health is hosting a clinic to give out third doses of the Pfizer vaccine. Today's clinic runs from 10 to 3 at the VGCC Civic Center in Henderson. Remember to bring your vaccination card.
New this morning, the White House says it is ready to re-implement a controversial Trump-era border policy on order of the U.S. Supreme Court. A policy known as Remain in Mexico was used to return more than 60,000 U.S. asylum seekers across the border, requiring them to wait in Mexico as their claims were processed. The Biden administration tried to end the policy, but the High Court ordered it back in place, saying the White House's efforts were made improperly. Mexico must first agree with this policy before it can take effect again.
New this morning, a California homeowner is breathing a sigh of relief after nearly 100 snakes were removed from under her house. Take a look, if you dare, at some of the snakes. Al Wolf is a snake wrangler. He says a drought in the area is prompting snakes to go to areas where there is water, looking for lizards and rodents.
Well, I get on my hands and knees, and I'm not even in there a minute before I find the first rattlesnake.
All the snakes will be released into rural Sonoma County.
The brave guy. Oscar-nominated actor Jonah Hill wants the world to know his body is not an appropriate talking point. The 37-year-old, best known for performances in movies like 21 Jump Street and Superbad, posted on Instagram informing fans it doesn't feel good to read comments about his body. Hill has previously written about being body shamed, and his latest post prompted an outpouring of support from fellow celebrities and fans. How much would you pay for a shredded painting? How about $25 million? That's how much this work of art by street artist Banksy went for at auction. You may remember the original painting titled Girl with Balloon was designed to shred itself, and it did just that during its original auction in 2018. Right in front of people's eyes. Wow. It originally went for $1.4 million. That price jumped big time, though, for this new auction. The piece has now been retitled Love is in the Bin.
It is 8:22. Still to come, why two former Trump associates are getting extra time to cooperate with a House investigation into the January 6th riot.
And a controversial bill involving transgender athletes is moving through Texas legislature. How it is similar to a bill that once stalled in North Carolina.
Number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
8:26 is the time right now on your Friday morning. I'm Jeff Hogan with a look at the local stories that we are following for you. Shorts and t-shirts today, no question. It looks beautiful out there as we get started, but Elizabeth, it's going to be a hoodie by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Big changes coming, but today definitely warm. As a matter of fact, near a record high this afternoon. It's looking beautiful in Sanford, a live look with all that sunshine through downtown. It is 59 in Lewisburg and in Tarboro, 61 in Irwin, 60 in Goldsboro. So a pleasant start for us this morning. If you're heading out on the golf course, you may want to do it this morning. We're going to hit 80 degrees by lunchtime, and then our high this afternoon will be in the upper 80s. Might be a nice evening, too, to hit the links with the temperatures dropping on back into the 70s. Coming up, we're going to talk more about the timing of our rain on Saturday. Zach?
My tea time, Elizabeth, right at noon. So can't wait for that. Durham looking pretty nice out there right now. Looking pretty good traffic-wise. No major complaints in the Bull City. Lots of blue sky as well. So grab those sunglasses before you head out and about. Lots of green north and south along the Durham Freeway as well as coming in from Chapel Hill. Few crashes, though, still around the Triangle. Most to all of those in the cleanup stages and also all those on the secondary roads. I-40 west and eastbound moving along just fine as well as all of our major roads. So far, lots of green this morning.
Today, we will learn more about a deadly shooting involving a local deputy. Investigators say a woman called 911 for help on McNair Road in Edgecombe County. And when deputies arrived, a man charged and stabbed one of them with a knife. Another deputy fired shots, killing that man. The deputy who was stabbed was released from the hospital last night. The sheriff will have an update at 11. You can look for those updates on WRL's noon news. Today is the first full day of the North Carolina State Fair, and this morning, Agriculture Commissioner Steve Troxler will officially kick off the fair with a ceremonial ribbon cutting. He's expected to address how much it means to vendors and farmers to be back. Next on Fox 50, the FDA is about to start a meeting to discuss booster shots. What a decision today could mean for you.
Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. It's 8:30. It's so good to have you along with us right now.
And I'm Renee Chu, TGIF, everybody. Today is shaping up to be a nice day at the North Carolina State Fair. Here's a live look from our WRL Tower Cam. Two views for you, Elizabeth.
That's camera. Right. It's so good we got to see it twice. It is beautiful. We're looking at sunshine all across the viewing area this morning. Yesterday, we climbed into the mid-80s. We're going to creep up maybe a couple degrees above that today. Definitely shorts and t-shirts weather at the fair. But it feels really nice out there right now. If you have kids, you're taken out there this morning, maybe kids that aren't in school yet. It's going to feel great this morning. Right now, it's 60 in Durham and Raleigh, 61 in Fayetteville, 61 degrees in South Hill. This morning at 10, when the rides begin, temperatures will be in the low to mid 70s. We hit 80 degrees right around lunchtime and then 87 around 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon. If you're headed out after work or school, we're going to drop it back into the 70s. It really should be a pleasant day today. Now, tomorrow's a different story. We've been tracking a front that will bring some rain tomorrow. It won't be all day. It won't be a washout, but I'll show you when to expect it coming up.
Happening now, vaccine advisors are meeting to figure out if people who got the Johnson & Johnson shot should get another one. An FDA advisory panel just started its meeting at 8:30. This week, federal data raised questions about whether an extra dose is needed or whether vaccine recipients should mix and match instead. A new study showed those who got the J&J shot may be better protected with a Moderna or Pfizer booster. That same FDA panel decided to recommend booster shots of the Moderna vaccine. They want to offer the shot to people over 65, those who are at risk of serious illness from COVID, and frontline workers. Here's what happens next for that booster shot. The full FDA will make a decision on the recommendation in the coming days. Then a CDC committee will meet next Wednesday to discuss the boosters. Then it's up to the CDC director to make a final decision.
Today we'll get more answers about a stabbing and deadly shooting involving an Edgecombe County deputy. WRL's Naya Harden walks us through what we know so far.
FBI investigators are also here working on this case. This is standard when it comes to a shooting involving law enforcement. Investigators say this all started around 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon when deputies responded to a home on McNair Road where a woman said a relative armed with a knife was chasing her. When deputies arrived, they say the man charged at them, stabbing one of them in the back. Another deputy fired shots, killing the man. The injured deputy was released from the hospital last night. Now, today we could learn the names of those involved. The sheriff is going to be speaking at 11 o'clock this morning. WRL is going to be there and we'll have updates for you in our later newscast. Naya Harden, WRL News, Raleigh.
Now to developing story. This morning, we are learning former President Bill Clinton had an infection that developed into sepsis. He is still in a California hospital. The 75-year-old former president is in the ICU for privacy and safety, not because he needs intensive care. He's been talking with family, and he's been up and walking.
And here in the WRL Live Center, new video just into our newsroom of the former First Lady Hillary Clinton leaving the California hospital after visiting the former president. Now, in a statement from the family talking a little bit more about the treatment that the former president received, he received IV antibiotics and fluids. Doctors were quoted as saying he is on the mend. Now, the former president and First Lady were in Los Angeles to attend fundraising events for the Clinton Foundation.
First full day of the North Carolina State Fair begins today with some big events in the works. WRL's Laura Levine is live at the State Fairgrounds right now. Strong opening day yesterday, and I know you're excited about this day two right now.
So excited, Jeff. Take a look. You can see vendors are already setting up right now, getting ready to welcome people. But let's take a look this way, if we can, Mark. Over here, all the people that are now walking in, because as you mentioned, the gates have opened at 8 o'clock, rides begin at 10 o'clock, and ceremonial events begin at 11. This morning, Agriculture Commissioner Steve Troxler will officially kick off the fair with a ceremonial ribbon cutting. He'll likely address how much this means to the vendors, farmers, and other fair participants to be back. Now, Horace Johnson here over at Apex Lions Club, he said this is a tradition for them, one that they're looking forward to, taking in again after missing out last year. He's had a booth here for 68 years, and as you can imagine, not being here last year really hurt their services. And again, so much to do here. We have live events, entertainment, rides. If you want to customize your trip to the fair for your family, head over to WRL.com. We have details as far as parking and ticket information and so much more. Laura Levine, WRL News, live in Raleigh.
Check your bank account this morning if you're eligible for child tax credit payments. The fourth payment starts going out today for tens of millions of Americans. Congress approved the expanded child tax credit earlier this year to make monthly deposits through December. The goal is to reduce child poverty during the pandemic. If you have a child under the age of 6, the payment is $300. Those with kids ages 6 to 17 will get $250. Next on WRL, why lawmakers are pushing forward a bill that some say could be harmful to students.
And we got your guide to events around the Triangle this weekend. This is a live look at downtown Raleigh from our WRL Live Cam Network. Coming up, we'll walk you through Out and About's best weekend bets.
Today, a former Marine officer who criticized a U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan will return to court for sentencing. Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller accepted responsibility for his actions, pleading guilty in a special court-martial. His attorney told reporters he doesn't expect a punishment beyond a letter of reprimand. Sentencing is expected to last 2 days.
New this morning, a bill that restricts how transgender students participate in school sports is heading to the Texas Senate. Controversial bill passed the House in a special session last night. Matt Daugherty explains why some lawmakers are pushing this legislation forward, as others say it's unnecessary.
If it becomes law, public school student athletes born male will only be allowed to play on boys' sports teams. Athletes born female only allowed to play on girls' teams, unless an all-girls team at the school doesn't exist. Republican Representative Valerie Swanson from Spring helped author the bill.
Biological males, in addition to having much higher testosterone levels, have many other physiological advantages that girls just cannot overcome.
Most House Democrats disagreed. Some said the bill was unnecessary.
To the community, this is Bathroom Bill 3.0. A bill that was not needed then, and a bill that is not needed now.
What do we want?
Passionate voices from both sides have been heard for months outside of the Texas Capitol.
It protects all athletes to play fairly.
Some argued the bill would preserve the progress made in women's sports over the years.
The goal is to bully and harass trans children.
Others said it could stigmatize and exclude transgender students even more.
When I was growing up, I was a lesbian. And I never told anybody because it wasn't okay.
There being 76,054 nays, HB 25 was passed.
With Matt Daugherty reporting, a similar bill stalled in the North Carolina legislature this year. A Save Women's Sports Act was heard in committee, but was never placed on the floor for a vote. Supporters said it would protect female athletes from losing roster spots to transgender athletes. Those against the bill said it would hurt children who are transgender and limit their opportunities.
Next on Fox 50, the man accused of carrying out a mass shooting at a Florida school is due in court this morning. What could happen in the last-minute hearing that could avoid a trial?
And hours away from another historic space journey, how today's space launch in China will bring a first for that country.
But first, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers. Welcome back. It's 8:43 as we take a live look at the Whirligig Park in Wilson, kind of like its own mini state fair. Kind of has that Ferris wheel feeling there, right? But beautiful skies out there, clear skies and sunshine, and it's going to be warm today, Elizabeth.
It is. You know, wouldn't it be fun to be able to ride those?
Yeah.
I've always thought that. Taking a look at our temperatures as we look down through downtown Raleigh. This is a live look down Fayetteville Street toward the Capitol Building. 60 degrees, so it feels very pleasant this morning. We'll head over to Chapel Hill and things look good there. Plenty of people walking around in shorts and t-shirts there in Chapel Hill, and our temperature there in the upper 50s. We head down to Fayetteville. It is 61 with bright sunshine as we look across toward Hay Street and downtown Fayetteville. We're tracking this front. Of course, this front is likely to bring us some rain for Saturday. This high has kept things nice and dry for us, and the low itself will move up over that high. So this is where most of the energy with this system will end up being, and it will move northward. There's been a lot of severe weather along this front, but a lot of that energy will move up to the north. So we're not at that same risk for severe storms. It moves as far south as northern Virginia and then on up into the northeast. So we're not included in that severe weather threat. As a matter of fact, when we take a look at the forecast with this front coming through, the rain looks really pretty minimal with it. And the window of opportunity for rain is probably going to be 3 to 4 hours in any one particular spot. So we'll wake up Saturday morning to a little bit of low cloud cover. And you're going to look outside around lunchtime and say, wow, it's a beautiful day. It's nice and sunny. But by mid-afternoon, we'll start to see the clouds rolling in. And you can see here at 3 o'clock, a few isolated showers, isolated thunderstorms are possible, but nothing that should reach severe criteria. That starts to move on out. And by 5 or 6 o'clock, the rain should be over right around the Triangle area. And by 7 to 8 o'clock, it should be over in our eastern counties. And that's going to be it. High pressure builds in, and we move back into a very dry and much, much cooler weather pattern. Our best chance of rain in the next 5 to 7 days days really will be tomorrow. With that front coming through, we're going to see a 60% chance of rain, but not a lot of rain. Our western counties up to a quarter of an inch, and our eastern counties up to a half an inch, especially if you find yourself under one of those thunderstorms. Checking our drought status. Yesterday, the new drought monitor came out, and the triangle came out of abnormally dry conditions, but a lot of our eastern counties are still abnormally dry. Not going to see a ton of rain tomorrow or really anytime soon coming from the tropics, as that only has a 10% chance of developing, and it looks like it'll move on by. If you are headed to the beaches on Saturday, I know that looks pretty ominous, but that's likely to be very late afternoon into the evening, so most of the day tomorrow should be nice and warm, maybe the last really warm day that we'll see at the beach for quite some time. The mountain forecast, most of the rain will be first thing in the morning, and then the afternoons will dry out, and Sunday looks beautiful if you'll be up there. Plenty of good color, especially from, say, Boone up in elevation, Grandfather Mountain, Beach Mountain, and then down near Asheville, Craggy Gardens, and Graveyard Fields, all still looking really good. At least two or three more good weeks of color in the mountains. We're looking at a beautiful week next week with our temperatures in the mid-70s, which is finally near normal for this time of year.
The depositions of two Trump associates in the investigation into the riot at Capitol Hill on January 6th, set for today, are being delayed now. Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and longtime Trump social media director Dan Scavino were scheduled to give their depositions today. Meadows was given a short postponement while he's engaging with a House panel, and Scavino's subpoena was served late, so he'll have extra time to respond to the questions and requests of investigators.
New this morning, the Forsyth County Sheriff is calling for an urgent plan to address gun violence after a high school student was caught with a loaded gun at school. Police say an anonymous tip led to the arrest of a student at Reynolds High School in Winston-Salem. This marks the sixth time a gun has been found on a Winston-Salem Forsyth County school campus in just 6 weeks. This morning, the man accused of carrying out a mass shooting at a high school in Parkland, Florida, could plead guilty. Local outlets are reporting that Nicholas Cruz is set to enter the plea in a last-minute hearing. His lawyers have not confirmed that. Prosecutors say Cruz killed 17 people at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School on Valentine's Day in 2018. If he pleads guilty, Cruz would still face a jury to decide whether he'll get life in prison or the death penalty.
Rocky Mount celebrates National Night Out tonight. You can drop by the Rocky Mount train station from 6 to 8. There'll be free food, a DJ, inflatables, and other lawn games. The goal is to build a sense of community. This is Rocky Mount's first National Night Out under Chief Robert Hassel, who was sworn in earlier this year.
Former Roseville Mayor Frank Eagles has died. The town's current mayor, Ronnie Curran, shared the news on Facebook, saying his death is a shock. Curran says Eagles leaves a great legacy with contributions to the town. We've reached out to town officials to learn how Eagles died.
Tonight, first responders from our area will gather to raise money for those affected by cancer. Firefighters and First Responders Bash to Fight Cancer takes place tonight at 6:30 on West Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. There'll be food and drinks and live music there.
Dr. Anthony Fauci recently gave Americans the green light to go out and trick-or-treat this year. But experts say there are some things you should do to make sure you stay safe and to not spend a fortune. Ashley Strohmeyer reports.
Halloween is as big for some people as Christmas is for other people.
Halloween is right around the corner, but COVID-19 and rising costs for consumer goods are putting a strain on some families. New data from the Labor Department found wholesale prices rose by almost 9% in 12 months, making it more expensive to buy candy in bulk. Instead, experts have some cheaper alternatives.
Pencils, stickers, little knickknacks and prizes that you can pick up at your local dollar store.
There's also creative ways to avoid spending money on new costumes this year by swapping with neighbors.
They're used one time, so they're usually in excellent condition. And it's just a super simple way to kind of trade costumes back and forth. You get a new costume every year, and it's free.
Meanwhile, even though the nation is seeing a drop in new COVID-19 cases, doctors say you should still be mindful and wear a mask.
There are a lot of creative ways to make those masks be incorporated into the child's costume.
And if you're going to give out candy, health officials advise limiting contact.
A single candy bar wrapped on a table, have it be not very next to another candy bar. Keep them spaced apart.
Right.
Perfectly fine.
But no matter how chaotic the world gets, many say it's important to celebrate holidays.
we can't forget about the tradition that we have. And if we lose that tradition, we've lost so much.
Inflation aside, the National Retail Federation says Americans will break records this year, spending more than $10 million on Halloween candy, costumes, and more. Ashley Strohmeyer, Fox News.
Defending Super Bowl champs are taking away another win with a decisive play in the final quarter.
It is. Brady out to his right. Throws, pass, caught.
And that'll do it. Brady's pass right there, and the Bucs sealed the victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. They needed a stop on that play. The Eagles did, but his pass got him a first down. They were able to run out the clock. Final score, 28-22. Lots of big NFL games this Sunday. The Carolina Panthers are back at home, hoping to avoid a third straight loss as they host the Minnesota Vikings. Kickoff 1 o'clock on Fox 50. And Sunday night football, the Seattle Seahawks travel to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can watch that live here on WREL at 8:20.
If you're not going to the North Carolina State Fair, there are plenty of other great events happening in our area this weekend. Here's a look at WREL Out and About's Best Bets. Chapel Hill is dedicating this weekend to the arts. The festival, arts market, and more is scaling back in size because of the pandemic, but will still feature dozens of artists as well as food and drink vendors. There are no specific COVID restrictions in place. The event runs from 4 to 8 tonight on Henderson Street downtown. The North Carolina Wine Festival is back at Cocoa Booth Amphitheater in Cary. More than 30 wineries will be around to provide samples, along with live music. Masks are not required outside, but are needed for the on-site restrooms. Tickets are still available for the all-day event tomorrow. And you can celebrate fall at Dix Park in Raleigh with Falling for Local tomorrow from 11 to 6. There will be live music, tons of activities for kids, and it's all free. Masks are not required. To get more information about these and other events, go to WREL.com and search Out and About.
And take a look at this new video just into the WREL newsroom this morning. China launched its first solar exploration satellite into space. It'll help scientists learn more about the core of our solar system, the sun. And we're just hours away from a historic moment for the Chinese space program. Today, the first woman assigned to work at China's new space station will blast off. She's part of a three-person team headed to space, where she'll be the first Chinese woman to conduct a spacewalk. China aims to complete its new space station and have it fully staffed by December of next year. Today's launch is scheduled for just before 12:30 Eastern time.
Carolina Hurricanes fans have reason to celebrate this morning after a dominant performance in the Canes' season opener at PNC Arena. The Canes fought through a tie in the second period to defeat the New York Islanders 6-3. The team placed 8 new players on the roster, and in a video posted just before midnight on Twitter, head coach Rod Brendamore had this to say to them.
And all the new guys, huge job. You know what? Catch me if I say similar. We're not new guys anymore. Okay? Great job coming in and contributing.
The Canes are headed out on the road, taking on the Nashville Predators tomorrow in a rematch of last year's first-round playoff series. Well, the Canes played in front of a sold-out arena. Anyone attending the game had to fill out an online wellness survey. Masks are required inside PNC, but as you can see, some people were following the guidelines. Others do not have their mask on.
8:54 is the time right now. We will get another check on weather and traffic when we come back next.